I just had a brief moment of panic. I was looking at my Bible there and then making a little note on the side of a couple of things I wanted to remember, and then looked back and then my notes weren't there. And it's like, how? Did that stuff ever happen to you? How in the mother of the 2 seconds do the gremlins come and run off with stuff? And I was frantically, I thought, where did those notes go? I've got to get up there when the last song, it's closing out. And so I was going through and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find all the notes. I study on these notes and do research and look in the words and this and that. I thought, well, what am I going to do? If God didn't want, I guess I'll just have to give what I can give. Maybe he has a different way. And then I turned a page there in the Bible and there it was. But a few days ago, I was looking all over the house for my little earpiece. I don't like to use a phone, but, you know, trying to talk in it or put it up on a dash. So I have a little earpiece, and I talk through. I couldn't find that darn thing. I looked and looked and looked, it's like I've lost in my earpiece, and I don't usually do that. I know where they are. And I don't know what led to it, but I'd given up on it. I don't know. And for some reason, I reached up and hit, and it was in my ear. And it's very similar to this thing right here. It is just darker, and it doesn't have quite the little, it's got a little piece that comes out partway. It was in my ear the whole time. And that's like, this stuff has started this last year, and I hope it goes no further. I blame it on the surgeries, and I've told people that that's happened. I said, it's the anesthesia still leaking out of my tissues that causes this. Yeah. You know, yeah, and it works for me. It helps me to deal with this. So anyway, is anyone having these issues at all? Okay, do you walk in your room intent on something and you walk back out not even knowing why you, and then later you're in a bind and you know all of a sudden when you really need it why you were going in there to get it to start with? It's unbelievable, isn't it? You look for your truck keys, car keys, you're looking all over the place and only realize after a while they're already in the ignition. What happens to us? We attribute it to old age. You know what a lot of it really is? There's so much on our minds. Honest to goodness. We attribute it, and it can be, you know, yeah, you know. But really, seriously, we're so overloaded. We have so much we're thinking about it at any given time. We sometimes don't know what we're doing. The stress in our lives, the stress around us, look at it. You know, you're hearing, all you hear is this doomsday stuff. If you look at some of your Facebook guy, what's his name? Somebody help me. Who's the guru of Facebook that's all that? Who? What's his name? Yeah, that's it. If you read now that he's preparing for disaster and building this big survival bunker for himself. So when people like that do that stuff, it scares even more people. Yeah, there's a big printout on him, and he's building this big, luxurious survival bunker, doomsday prepper thing. And so people are saying, well, if he's doing that, then he knows something we don't. Really? I'm sure there's a lot of people who know something we don't. You know, and it should be reported, but it's not. But to me, God knows every secret, and he says that one of these days, sooner or later, everything that's in secret will be revealed openly, one way or another. Well, that's a shudder, isn't it? It's like, oh, dear. Yeah, so be careful what you say about me behind closed doors. God's going to reveal it. So anyway, it's going to happen, and a lot of the things we think there's no justice, there will be. I don't know why guys like that are building survival shelters and doomsday bunkers. I don't know. You know, do they know something we don't know? I think we all want to impress people thinking we know something they don't know. You need to plan. Have some things on hand. I will tell you that no matter if we had the greatest setup in the world and everything politically and economically was great, I'd still tell you, always, always have reserve. Always have things that'll last a while. And I do, you know, anybody that's been in my house knows, go in my little guest room and there's stacks of stuff. And I just do. Live out like that, you better be prepared so you can make it. But this message is not on that, but this is a lead into that, into this message, because last month I brought the first half of this message, but never got to finish it because we went into the holidays, Thanksgiving, then Christmas, and I wanted to do it to go into this new year, because we talked out of Galatians 5 just a few weeks ago. And we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, and we used this passage, which we're going to use today, because there's the other part of this message we need to talk about. And all of these things clamoring for our attention, causing us to forget that the earpiece is in our ear and what we walked in a room for, and we're so distracted. I mean, I walk in there, and that's happened to me many times. And I want to laugh and say, that's what, then, you know, because the old standby is it's old age. But then I'm thinking, I've tried to make myself think about what were you thinking. And I was not only thinking about what I wanted to come in this room for, but I was thinking also about this. And I was thinking about that. And I need to do that. And I got to go see this person. I have to call these people. I have to have a counseling appointment. That's why you don't know what you were coming in here for. And all these things are just, they're yelling at you. And that you don't, and then you have to realize somewhere in your life that's exactly what the devil loves, is to distract, to get us so caught up in our thoughts we can't even remember where our car keys are, where the earpiece is, what we walked in a room for. And you know, that's why so many of us are having to take things for our stomachs and our blood pressure, and you just have so much, we're overloaded. And then here in Galatians, we have this passage that says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this is the NASB, the new, yes, I know what it is. It's a New American Standard. And I'll tell you why I'm using this today. I used an NIV, New International Version, for the first part of this message a few weeks ago. I was looking in two different, one older New International Version and one newer than I'd gotten. That was a thinner Bible to preach from. Did you know there's some of the words translated differently in those two Bibles? And I didn't like that. I was like, why did you, in the same version, and it was in this passage, why did you change some of the wording? And so I want good translation. I want to go back to the original and I look at it in the King James and New King James, or go back and say, what does this word mean and all this? And it bothered me. So we went to the New American Standard because I don't like to. If you look back, there's an older and then a more recent release of the NIV. And some of the words, you can use this passage right here and check it yourself. Some of the words are different. Don't do that to me. Let's don't play with it, in other words. So when you use a translation, check it. Be sure. I use the New Living Translation a lot, but be careful with some of the words in there they try to bring into modern English. It loses too much in the process. I really like it, but check it out. You say, how do I check it? Get a New King James Version. That's pretty close. And a lot of people have trouble with the King James, these and thous and all that. But the New King James takes that out but leaves the rest, and it's a pretty good reference to fall back to. Enough on that. Let's read this. But I say, walk by the Spirit. You may recognize this because just a month ago, we had one part of this. So, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another. So that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. There's more to this. We're going to stop there. You can read all the stuff in the law. Then we got into the fruit of the Spirit last time to help you stay in the Spirit. But today, just want to share some really particular, definitive, straight-to-the-heart things about walking by the Spirit. That's the title of this message. He says, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Well, the fruit of the Spirit, and you can look at that down there, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against those things there is no law. You need that. That's all the fruit of the Spirit. How do you get to the fruit of the Spirit? How do you get there? How do you walk in the Spirit to have the fruit of the Spirit? And so let's just take some basic things. And first thing, I'm going to give you some points here, and these are practical things. These at least get you started on walking in the Spirit. We know we're human. We know we fail. We know that none of us walks a straight line all the time. As a matter of fact, the human creature is not even designed physically to walk straight. Did you know that? Put a blindfold on anyone. Put them in an open field and say, just start walking straight, and they'll go in a circle every time. That's the human part of us. We never stay on the right path. Not even physically can we walk without sin in a straight line. We'll go wherever that strong foot's pushing us off to. Isn't that amazing? But we'll circle. I've even seen people with a compass do the same thing unless they have a definite reference point to shoot to and go to that point and then go to the next point and go to the next point. We're just going circles without something to guide us. It's just our nature. You try it sometime. Don't do it alone. But go out and just close your eyes. Don't cheat. Put some of your eyes and have someone there where you can't follow anything. And see how far you can walk straight. So what? And then morally, ethically, spiritually, if we're not real careful, we'll start doing the same blasted thing. Jesus talks about, the straight and narrow path and how hard it is to get on that path. It's hard to stay on it, friends, because we have our nature is physically, spiritually, emotionally to veer off that path and go our own way, to think we're going straight. You can think you're walking. You put a blindfold on and you start walking. You will swear to yourself that I am going straight. And you're going in off the path in a circle. There's a way that seems right to a man, that's what it says in Proverbs, but the end thereof is death. And you have to be very careful. Don't think you're walking on the right path. Be sure you are. And so here's the first thing you do. You say, how then can I begin to learn to walk by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, or not give in to all this stuff, not to carry out the desires of the flesh? Number one, learn to listen to God. You say, well, that's kind of oversimplistic. No, it's not. Learn to listen to God. And why does that need to be said? Because you can't even make it to your bedroom all the time or to your living room to pick up what you went there for. You can't even think it that far. So how in the world are you going to think about God all the time? You ever start reading the scripture and isn't it amazing how you sit down and have some study time and that cell phone goes off? How you'll get distracted. How many of you can start reading the Bible and you haven't read what? Three verses or a paragraph. And your mind is on, oh, I need to go to the store today. I got to run down here and get this and get it. And it does. And that's, we're off the path there. We're going in a circle already. How often do you have to say to God, forgive me, keep me focused. I have to pray it a lot myself. God, keep me focused. And if you really want to stay focused, when you open the Word of God, leave that cell phone in another room or just turn it off for a minute. It is one of the best things that's ever been invented and one of the most disastrous things that's been invented. I watch cars on the highway. You see it all the time. I'll watch a car starting to go over, a truck, pickup, whatever. It'll go over and come back. And they kind of slow down. Then they speed up. You catch up with them, find a look in there, and boy, they're just texting away. And yet, we're so dependent on them, we can't even talk. A family can't sit down and have a meal without talking to each other, texting across the table. You're just sitting, I see this, people invite me, come eat with us, and it's like, I don't even know why they invite me, because all I'm watching is texting going across the table. So I'll eventually say something. I'll say, is there something happened? And I'll be really serious, something happened? And they all look at, no, why do you ask? Well, y'all are all on your cell phones. Is there a message going out I didn't get? And then they realize what I'm trying to say. But hey, I'm not going to put up with it. I don't want to waste my time. I'm going to sit there at the table and everybody's texting. It's like, you want me to get my phone out and we'll text that way? For crying out loud, why don't we just eat text instead of food? You think about it. And so no wonder we can't even sit down and read the Word of God with all this junk's on our mind. And you have to ask God, let me focus, help me focus. Keep me on target. Listen to me. When I was playing ball, and you know, and went beyond, and then went into college playing ball, and you know, you had people in the stands, and there's all yelling and stuff going on. It's one thing to get out on a little sand lot and play ball. Then it's another to be out there where there's people in the stands, really in the stands, and they're all into this thing, and they're yelling and they're screaming. And you have to focus, and there's your catcher down there, and he's going through his signs. And he's giving you this finger, and then three fingers, two fingers, going back, and you're doing your little slap on the left leg, and on the inside of his thigh, and you got signal somewhere in the midst of that. You have to pay attention. And there's things that we just, I know everybody's into football, but they're in baseball, there's all these intricate things. And you're standing there on the mound, and you're watching the signal, but you're also in the catcher, and you need to have looked at them, and you've studied these batters, and you watch whether this batter stands back in the box or he stands up on the line. Is he jamming me? Is he standing back? If he's standing back, can I give him a curve and throw it to the outside? Can I throw it low to the outside? If he's up on the plate, I want to jam him on cross the knees on the inside. And all this kind of thing. What is he like? What does he go for? Is he a good curveball hitter? And to do that, you have to focus and tune out the yelling and the screaming and all the advice being given to you. And friends, to be who God wants you to be, if you're going to put it where it needs to be put in life, right down the pike, right in the mitt, you're going to have to learn to tune out all the advice, all the junk, all that everybody else wants you to be and do, and focus on Jesus Christ. You can't let all this stuff take you away from Him. And some of you, and I don't want to be rude or tacky, but could you just not watch the news as much? Just back off of it and get into His news. He already told you what is happening today would happen. You look in Timothy and he said in the latter days, they will not listen and they'll be rebellious. And they'll turn against each other. He's already told you what's going to happen. They're going to be blasphemers of God. They're going to do all the things that's being done today. He knows. Here's the book. It's just as fresh today as it was when he put it down. So learn to listen to God. Listen for God's voice. You say, is he going to speak to me from the heavens like the burning bush with Moses? No, he might. But most likely he's going to speak when you read this word. He's going to speak in his spirit. He's going to lead you in ways you don't even know. Listen, God speaks in his word. He speaks in prayer. And you know where I hear God often? People. I hear God just watching people. I see what God's telling me about evil. I see what he's telling me about sin. And once in a while, you know, God is speaking. Somebody will just say something, and it's like, wow. God speaks. Where has God chosen to speak? Most often, he speaks through prophets. He speaks through people. He puts a word in their heart. They don't even realize what they're saying. Pay attention. We don't even hear what each other's saying. Husbands and wives sit there, and they don't even hear each other anymore. We have to say, did you hear what I said? Uh-huh. What did I say? No, what did I really say? And what we're saying is, what did I mean? Did you get the meaning? Did you get the tone? Did you get the inflection? Don't just hear the words. That's where you mess up with God. Do you get the tone? Do you get the inflection? Do you get the body language from the Lord? You can read a scripture. Okay, great. Here's the scripture. Just like this one we're using today. But what else was going on in that? What is God saying to you to walk in the Spirit? He's saying, I can speak to you. Yes, I always speak in my word, and I speak in prayer. Has God ever spoken to you through a movie? Has he spoken to you through the wind? Through nature? Through animals? You ever just get out alone and then suddenly there's a bird flying over, a flock of geese, and they're in a formation, and God's saying, well, watch that. You just sense it, and you're just watching it, saying, that's how he wants us to be. These geese, I love to watch geese because they're organized. They fly in formations. And you know what they do? You ever study them, why they're doing that? You see a geese, and there's a semi-V. Do you know what those geese are doing, and they're all in line in that V? They're catching the lift from each other's wings. They don't have to flap as hard. And God and Christianity, what we're doing, we all go against each other. We're running this way and that way. Why in the world can't we flow together in the Holy Spirit and catch the lift of the Spirit from each other's wings? The next time you see a flock of geese, and you can hear them up there, and a lot of sand, now don't mistake them with sandhill cranes, okay? Because they just go everywhere. That's why they're lost all the time. Anyway, they remind me a lot of us in church. You know, we just go milling around till we find some place to land. The geese, though, are organized, and they're flying, and the one in front is flapping, and he's flapping, but they don't have to flap his heart. Except for who? The leader. And if you watch, and if you can see him long enough, watch him coming, that leader will drop out, fall back in line, and another one takes his place because he gets tired. And then he's floating on the uplift from the other wings. My God, how we need that in church, how we need it with each other to help support each other and let all of us flow from the outflow of the Spirit from each other and not have to work so hard by ourselves. God, how are we going to be who God wants us to be when we're all just flopping around, milling around, and nobody's... God can speak to you through that. So that's what I'm saying. You just look at a flock of geese, and suddenly God's speaking to you through that. He'll speak to you in a storm, in lightning. He speaks through movies. He speaks through circumstances, the weather, all the time. Just nature, just watching butterflies, birds, whatever it is, watching water. You ever just sit, have you taken the time, any time recently, just to sit and watch water flow? Spouts out of your faucet? Just watch it flow over the rocks. And you say, and God's saying, do you see, this is what I was referring to when I said, my Spirit, if you listen to me and you let me, my Spirit will fill and overflow you as rivers of living water. I want my Spirit flowing like this, giving life to everything it touches, all down this stream. Down this stream, the deer and all these little animals and the little porcupines and the beaver and everything, they're going to be drinking from this. And people. And he's saying, that's what my Spirit overflowing means. People are going to drink from your well of life. You just got to stop and desire to listen. You got to learn. You got to want to hear him in all these things. He's speaking. He's speaking right now. We see a disaster and on TV, and we say, oh my God, look at that. But God is saying, I'm speaking to you. We say there's a big mudslide somewhere and just wiped out a highway. There's a little earthquake somewhere, a big earthquake. And God is saying, listen to me. Your life is full of earthquakes. All the time there's a rattling and banging and the plates underneath are shifting. You're never stable. You're moved with every breath of bad news that comes along. And I want you to be stable. And he speaks in all these things. You will not be able to get home today if you just pay attention without God speaking to you. And I mean, at worst, somebody cuts you off in traffic. God's speaking and saying, aren't you glad you're not like that one? Really? Aren't you glad I saved you? But then what's the deeper message? And you can really see it if you want to. When you see somebody weaving and acting stupid and they're speeding and going on, he's saying, that's my people today. They're just speeding out of control. They don't even, for what reason? They're not paying attention. They're willing to hurt other people to get what they want. You see the listens? He's speaking. Everything that's happening, he's speaking to you. It's powerful when you look at it. And he's saying, walk by the Spirit. That's how you begin to walk by the Spirit. And then secondly, you commit yourself to just do what he says to do. Just do what God says. I have to say that to people constantly. Tony, this and that, and then, you know, I hear all this stuff. It's like, finally it boils down. I listen to all of it. Yeah, you try to be a good listener, counselor. But finally, you said, what is your problem of just doing what God says? Why you have to complicate it? If God says don't do that, don't do it. I mean, you get focused, first of all, you listen to God and everything he's saying, but commit to do what he says. You choose God's will over your own will. What did Jesus say? He said, whoever would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Are you doing that? Start this new year doing that. You won't be perfect. But there's a time to say, I don't need that alcohol. I don't need to smoke that stuff over there. I don't need to take these pills. I don't need this. And I don't mean your blood pressure medication, whatever that, but you know what I'm talking about. You don't need the fentanyl. You don't need all this other stuff. By the way, they're poison. They're sneaking it into people's stuff. I mean, they're killing people with it. You don't need it on your own. And there might be a party, that might be right tonight, that you might really sit back and say, do I need this? Do I really need to be there at this particular thing? Are these people safe? Are they going to be doing things that will tempt me, make me sick, hurt my body, or wound my soul? Is there people that are going to make fun of me? Are they going to ridicule me? Are they going to put me down? Then why are you doing it? Well, I don't want to hurt so-and-so's feelings. They're not worried about hurting yours. You with me? There just comes a time to listen to God, pay attention, and just do what he says. He said, don't keep company for all these unbelievers. Don't get involved in you. You witness to them, love them, help them. But man, there's a time to back off. Of course, I don't have to worry about it. I don't get invited to New Year's Eve parties. I wonder why. That's just not a problem for me. I never has been. People just don't seem to like me around at a New Year's Eve party. I'll drink Dr. Pepper with the best of them. And my daughter there brought me a real Dr. Pepper with the real sugar. She said, you want it now? I said, no. She met me out of the truck. I said, put that in my little ice cooler. I will drink that later. Because I can't find those very often, and I love those things, you know. So anyway. Let's move on. I bet you're saying that yourself. Move on. Okay. We got to move on. Let's get this done. All right. Choose God's love. Listen, choose God's love over other people's love. And choose God's love over self-love. I'll ask the question. You answer it yourself. What do you love the most today? Who? Who do you love the most today? Who gets your attention? Who you get the most upset about, excited about? Yourself? Others? What they think of you? Or what God thinks of you? I mean, do you love the Lord enough to where, whether you get attention from others or not, does it make a hill of beans? Well, that's an old expression. We don't use it anymore, but does it matter? You know what one of the traps the devil uses to get me caught up in things? To get me away from God? I want you to know my weakness. You can pray for me. That might be yours, and then might help you discover your own. God gets me distracted with other people's problems, trying to fix them, trying to help them, trying to figure out what's best for them. And I get my mind off of him, and I start trying to fix them instead of letting God fix them. It's a weakness of my life. And first thing you know, I'm distracted with somebody's issue, or this couple's about to break up, or they've got a kid that just absolutely, and I'm thinking, what can I do? What answer is going to give? You know, and I'll even say, God, help me. Well, but what am I saying? Me. God, you do it. God, you intervene. God, you get in there. I'll step back and you minister to these people. They're looking too much to me. Is that happening to you somewhere? Are people looking too much to you to fix them? To take care of them and not God. And what makes us feel good about ourselves, we can go home and say, I feel pretty good about that. Said the right thing at the right time, and God's saying, didn't give me glory. You wouldn't know anything if I didn't give it to you. So you see what I'm saying? That's my weakness. What's yours? What do you get caught up in? Is it football? If a football game comes on, your favorite guys, you know, their favorite ones on the field, does the world cease to exist while that game's on? You say, are you saying I shouldn't watch football? No. I'm saying don't watch it over what God may be wanting you to do. If somebody, if you're right in the middle of a big play and your partner there, you know, for most of us it'd be the wife, you know. But you're just right there and they step between you and the TV. What's your reaction? Is it one of love? Is it, hi honey, you need something? Is God speaking? Okay. Let's move on. That's a little meddling. Anyway. You got to learn the difference between, you know, emotion and the spirit. Yeah, I know it. See? Thank you. Yeah, they get it. I don't have to hit this one too hard because I've hit it before. Know the difference between your feelings and what God's saying in His Spirit. First of all, if what you're feeling, what your emotions are saying to you is in any way contradictory to the Word of God, you know it's wrong. Eve listened to her feelings in the Garden of Eden instead of what God said. Friends, there's a time to deny self and take up that cross and follow Jesus. Now, she didn't understand much about Jesus, but she understood God gave them not very many commandments, but there was one, right? Don't eat of that tree. Don't eat that fruit. Don't do it. Right? No, but the devil started messing with her and saying, oh, God's withholding on you. He's got something that he knows that you don't know. And that's the best way to get somebody to do something, right? There's something hidden out there. There's a little fortune inside. Open it up. And that little, it's like a fortune cookie. And read your little fortune. You're going to know what God knows. And her feelings got involved. And then then Adam's feelings got involved. She went to him. And they trusted their feelings rather than just a true, pure word of God. Friends, how many of you have made marriage mistakes in your life because you listened to your feelings and you swore to people God was saying it was okay and God was not in it. It was your feelings and you never really consulted the Lord. How many have done that? You don't have to raise a hand, but it's happened, hasn't it? Now we've talked about buying vehicles and getting in debt and all that because of feelings. Know the difference between what you feel and the Spirit's leading. What time is it? I got to close. You've got to determine. I'm going to live in God's Spirit. I'm going to learn to listen to Him. I'm going to learn to listen to God. And know the danger. Know the danger of being led by your feelings instead of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you keep yielding to your feelings, you're going to become a very self-centered individual. The most selfish people are the ones who are caught up in the feelings about themselves. You with me? You're not with me? You want me to say it again? We'll have to stay longer if I have to repeat myself. Okay. Acknowledge the Spirit's prompting. When you get a check in your spirit, this has been in many messages, and I want to reemphasize it for going into the new year. If you get a hesitation, a check in your spirit about something you're going to do, don't do it. You ever been about to say something to somebody? You probably did anyway. You knew it was off color. You knew it was, you know, it was going to be tacky. It was going to hurt. And you just had that moment of a breath intake where you knew that just for that fleeting moment, a hesitation, right? Why'd you do it? You ever start just let out a bunch of big old string of cuss words? I mean, something happens. You're just doing something. You hit that thumb. And in that moment, there's a hesitate. What is that? Right there, the Lord was saying, don't. But you did. Why? Habit. And it's easier to give in to habit, right? than it is to give in to the Lord. And that's what it is. You know, it's a habit to cuss, and then as soon as you do it, throw your fit and throw things down, break some stuff, then you're feeling lousy. It's a little late then. Why don't you learn to listen to the prompting of the Spirit? You get a check in your heart about buying something, doing something, saying something. Don't. You ever go to read scripture and you get a check in your spirit about the scripture you're about to read? You just like, it's happened to me many times. It's just like, oh, why? He has something else he wants me to turn to. Don't insist on it, even though you're looking for an answer. Go where he tells you to go. You'll be glad you did. Don't guess. Refuse to panic. When people panic, that's when they really get in trouble. Okay, here's a note for you. Temptation is not the sin. It's when you yield to the temptation that there's the sin. We've all been tempted. Even it says Jesus was tempted, yet he did not sin. So don't confuse being tempted with giving in to the temptation, because we're all going to be tempted. All right, we got to wrap this up. So the last one is, aren't you glad? Let go and just live. Live how? Live controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ask God, is this a feeling or is this your prompting? And if you're prompting, then there's somewhere in Scripture that will confirm it. Show me where that is. Everybody with me? If you do this, you're going to go into this year victorious. You're going to make it. You'll have some, you'll fall, you'll mess up. But by and large, you're going to, you know, it'll be a lot better than those black-eyed peas you're going to eat tomorrow. They're dealing with luck. This is dealing with God's will. And that's a sure thing. And I want to leave you with this. Listen. You let go when you live. You ask God, is this a feeling? Is this your will? Is this what's in your word? Is what I'm thinking or feeling in any way contradicting your word? If it is, I'll stop it right now. That's it. Be committed to that. Let the word of Christ be in your mind. Let the love of Christ direct your actions. And friends, let the power of Christ control every desire you have. Don't try to live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Just do what you've heard today and let this process start happening for you. Just live. Just be calm. Just let God's Spirit be in you and become your Spirit. Live by the Spirit. In John 4:24, he said this, God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let God speak to you from whatever source God wants to speak to you. I get quite a few insights into the next message or a message a week or a month from now from a movie. I'll just be watching and there's one line in there, one scene, and it's like, whoa. And God just showing me how this translates into our lives. So don't be like a bunch of cranes swarming around in the air. Get in line, get in formation, help each other, flow with each other. And when you get tired, drop back a little, let somebody else let you coast along on their spiritual strength till you recover. You can do that this year. You can walk by the Spirit and you won't fulfill all these old nasty things out there. All right? All right. All right, let's have the Lord's Supper. Terry's going to come and hand this out to you. The requirement we have here, you don't have to be a member of this place. All you have to do is know that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. You've asked Him into your life, and He's become your Savior, and you identify with Him, and that's what this is about. If you haven't done that, then I would ask you to walk right up here. I'll raise your hand. I'll come to you, and we'll help you pray and ask Jesus in your heart. This is for people who believe in Jesus Christ. And you do, take this. We don't have a closed communion. You know, we don't care where you're from. We just care where you're going. To heaven. In Christ. Am I still on? There we go. All right, thank you. Thank you. All right. All right, on the night he was betrayed, they're just going along having their meal, and all of a sudden he breaks into it. Hey, by the way, Jesus loves to do that. He loves to break in when you're just doing your thing He likes to appear. They're just doing their thing, having a meal. And all of a sudden he says, let's do something different. Be open. Don't keep him in a box. He might want to do something different with you. And in the middle of the meal, he introduces this and says, there's a place here that will take place outside of a meal. And he takes this bread and he said, I want you to have a time when away from the meal here that you take a piece of bread and you remember that this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this now in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup. There it is. And then he took the cup and he said, what? And I want you to remember, this represents my blood. This is my blood that's shed for you. Amen. Thanks for helping me, Terry. I thank all of you for being here. God bless you and keep you. This coming year, God lift up. I pray that God lift up his presence, his countenance upon you. God give you peace. And God leads you to focus on him and to see him everywhere you look, everything you hear, everything you say, and to hear the Lord, see the Lord around you, over you, in you, flowing out of you as rivers of living water. May the Lord guide you to walk by his Spirit and you won't be falling into all this junk anymore. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.